Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Susan, thank you very much. A mother has decided to temporarily take her 8-year-old son out of his Dublin school due to ongoing fears about nearby anti-immigration protests. Andrea Claudia Kalin has taken her son out of Canal Way Educate Together School in Dublin 8, where protesters have gathered at drop-off and collection times. And Andrea joins me on the line now. Good morning to you, and you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me.
So you describe the situation, what's been happening at the school and what you've been experiencing, to Sarah Burns for the Irish Yes. Times. Will you tell us a little bit about what it's been like?
Yes, of course. So there had been daily protests that, in my opinion, were not conducted in the most appropriate manner outside of the school. Children had witnessed some alcohol consumption and drug presence, intimidation. And, you know, I received an email, I think it was the week when it was the holiday for the kids in school, that there had been also a knife incident in the area. Mm-hmm. So
this was at another school, as I understand it, in the area.
St. James's is right next to, yes, next mm-hmm. to Canal Way. And like, for me, that was the last straw. Like I could see my son being anxious. He was asking about why is the tent outside of the exit of Canal Way, of his school, like why are people there? And I think I try to do what's best for my son and keep him home, because I was afraid.
So can you describe that to me? You mentioned the tent there, and people who have read the piece in the Irish Times might have seen that structure. But yes. you describe what it's like going in the mornings, for example.
It's grim. I mean, you know, you walk and you try to be careful, and everyone, the parents, I mean, at school, and everyone around talks about not upsetting them or not saying something or not, you know, doing anything that would cause this protest to escalate.
So you said don't upset the protesters.
Yes, don't upset the protesters. Yes, this is the general consent, so to say. Like, don't do anything that might upset them and escalate the whole thing.
And these people are anti-immigration protesters. You're clear on that. That's why they're there.
Yes, I mean, it started as a protest against the the government wanted to construct a new building, a new IPAS center, an addition to the building, to the existing building, and it started like that. Like, they said no to that. It's my understanding that the government just said, okay, we're not gonna go through with it. And then they wanted the people that were living there, I think since 2022, to be kicked out.
Right. And is there a guard the presence there as the children are going into school? I mean, is anybody doing anything to try and protect you and your family?
I think the only thing that the principal of the school, and he's worked tirelessly over this, has managed to get a police car outside of the school at drop-in and at collection. It doesn't seem normal, and it's not sustainable. And what if things escalate? Like today, I know they have an organized, by organized protest, I mean, they have more numbers outside of the school.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really big decision for you, though, isn't it? To take your child out of school.
It's very big. He loves school. He loves his friends. He misses his friends. I have a 2-year-old at home also. So we had to change routines. You know, I had to speak with his teacher, who's been very supportive, giving me links on resources, on things that I can do with him at home. I know no Irish, by the way. So I had to also help him with some exercises there. So it's not easy. And I'm one of the lucky people that can do that, that can keep him at home. But I've spoken with parents that would like to do that, but they can't. It's either taking the child full time in creche, which is very expensive, or nothing else.
But how does it make you feel more generally that as you try to take your child to school, there are these people protesting at the very fact that you're here in Ireland?
Worried, but not just worried, it's disheartening, you know. Like, for me, I just got my citizenship My family got, you know, their Irish citizenship. My daughter was born here. My son doesn't know any other home. And I've lived, like, I've been an immigrant since I was little. I lived for 20 years in Greece, and I've seen the situation change there. And it really worries me that I don't feel welcome in a country that I call my home. I don't know what can happen next. Like,
mm-hmm. You're not thinking, Andrea, about leaving Ireland, are you?
Obviously, I'm thinking about it, but go where? Like, we've made this our home.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking about it. We're speaking with our neighbors. Some of them are from different countries. They're already thinking about going back, but I don't know where to go.
Tell me a little more about your background. You said you spent 20 years in Greece and you saw things change there. What happened?
Yes. So what happened is, like, my father got to Greece in the very early days. There were like 10 people, I think, in Athens that were foreigners. And it was a big deal when he got his green card. It was in the newspaper in Athens. And after, I think, because it was around 92, so a lot of communist countries, you know, left communism. And more numbers came and more people came to, you know, to Greece. And at some point, obviously, you know, because it happens, I understand also what people feel here in Ireland. People were angry, were tired, you know, of being let down by the government, and they took their anger and they directed the anger at the immigrants. Mm-hmm. Even though the people living there, you know, for like 20 years, like myself.
Yes.
And the far right began gaining support, and the mood on the street changed. And there were protests, they were hostile, they were harassing people of different color on the streets. So I'm worried this is going to happen here.
And is that why you left Greece?
Yes. It was also the economic crisis.
Yes.
Like, it was 2012, I think.
And things were very bad, and people will remember that about Greece.
In general, yes.
So you came here then, and now, having settled here, and you're a citizen of Ireland, you feel the same thing is happening again, or could happen again.
I feel the same thing could happen again. And I think that Ireland can learn from what happened in Greece, because the issue can turn into an economic one. I don't think people understand what it means to have people from other countries that pay taxes here, that have their life here, suddenly leaving. Mm-hmm. The impact can be a huge one.
It just seems, and I don't know whether you feel this, but just listening to your story, it seems extraordinary that those protests can happen when there are little children going to school and coming home from school, and nobody... It would seem, from what you've told me, nobody can really do anything about it. Is that what you understand?
That is my feeling. Like, even I've written to TDs, no one replied, no one acknowledged it. The school is doing their best, but I don't even see, like, if I Google in the press, I don't see enough coverage. Mm-hmm. Like, there are two articles that I've seen on different news medias, but no one speaks about the children. Right that they have to go to school in peace. Mm-hmm. They don't need to, they're affected about this. Families are affected about this. And I think the focus should be on them.
Well, on the other side of it, I suppose there is a right of every person in this country to protest as well. And it's about balancing those rights, isn't it? But you feel that the balance is wrong.
I feel, look, everyone has the constitutional right to protest. Right. And even though for me, it's strange that in Ireland, protests don't require to be registered with the council and approved, you know, so you have like specific guidelines. Where are you going to protest, for how long, why, etc. And I feel like the location might not be the most appropriate, because their anger is somehow like direct. They should, since it's directed to the government, then why doesn't it happen outside a government building?
Mm-hmm. And I know it's not the most comfortable thing for you to speak publicly about this, because you've got your family to think about in all of it as well.
But, I do.
But you're hoping that you will achieve something by speaking.
Yes, I'm hoping that this, you know, talking to you will keep the story in the news, we'll keep the momentum, we'll focus on what is happening in the area, not just on one person, myself and my son being at home, and that the government would come out and listen to the protest, listen to them, because I think, I mean, I'm sure they want to be heard. Someone should come and sit down and listen to what they want, what they're asking, their needs. Listen to the school, if the school wants to speak, to the parents, to try to find common ground, to try to find a solution if that's possible.
And ultimately for you, you want to get your son back to school, right?
And for me, yes, personally, I would love for my son to be able to go back to school.
Andrea, it's lovely to talk to you, and we hope the situation changes and gets better for you and your family. Thank you for joining us on the programme.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Andrea, Claudia, Kaylin, thank you, Andrea, for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you also. Have a lovely day, Claire.
And we've had a statement from the school principal at Canal Way Educate Together National School. That's Dermot Stanley. And Dermot says, we're always saddened when a child temporarily withdraws from school, especially when the circumstances involve complex challenges that lie beyond the school's capacity to fully address or control. And here's what they've been trying to do. So they say they continue to actively monitor the impact of the protest on our school community. Despite our direct requests and repeated pleas to the protesters for a different approach, these have so far been unsuccessful. We've notified the departments and the Ministers of Education and Justice, An Garda Síochána, the INTO, Forza and other relevant stakeholders, seeking a respectful and inclusive resolution that prioritises the well-being of our entire community. But he goes on to say that only last week the tent structure, and you might remember Andrea mentioning the tent structure which is outside the school, Dermot tells us the structure was moved to within 4 metres of the school gate and 2 metres from the bypass hall door. They formally contacted the HSA, DCC Planning, DCC Fire Prevention, DCC Traffic and An Garda Síochána. To date, no authority has taken action to remove it or the protesters. And Dermot sent us photographs, and you can see from the pictures, the tent is pretty much right up against the school door, the school entrance, just 4 metres away. So everybody has to go past it. And Andrea made her decision based on the fact that her child and herself were feeling intimidated going into that and out of that school every day. We also had a statement from the Gardaí about the incident, which was mentioned there in the interview. Gardaí attended the scene of an alleged assault and public order incident at Basin Street in Dublin 8. This was on Wednesday, the 28th of May, at 9:15 in the morning. A male youth was arrested in relation to that incident. He's since been released, and a file will now be prepared for the Garda Youth Diversion Programme, and investigations are ongoing. We have asked the Gardaí about the support being given to the school. We're awaiting a response on that one. That's happening in Dublin 8.